If y'all can be find the book of Acts, chapter 3. My message today is, what can I give? What can I give? Acts chapter 3. The Lord really burnt this message in my heart the last couple of days about what can we give. There are people that are waiting on you to pass their way. I want you to hear me this morning. They're waiting on you. Not waiting on me. They're waiting on you to pass their way. Each of us have something we can give to someone else. Each of us have gifts, abilities. Each of us have something that we can give to someone else that's in need. If we'll open ourselves up to hear from God and obey God when he speaks. It doesn't have to be some kind of religious phenomena that with lightning and thunder involved. Man, it can just be something as simple as a listening ear or a smile into their life or a how you doing today, what's going on? Can I help you with anything? Can I say a prayer for you? Just what all of us have something we can give, and people are waiting on you to give that to them. God uses mankind to accomplish his work. Still does. With all of our technology, Siri still can't give you what we as people can give each other. Because I've asked Siri before. Siri, do you love God? You ever ask a stupid question to Siri? When it first came out, man, I was going crazy. I was asking everything. Siri, do you love God? And I think her response was, what was it? I am made of silicone or something. I don't know. Something stupid. So she had no idea what who God was. So though we have technology, though we have all the abilities that man could possibly fathom right now, boats float on the seas, planes fly in the air, men go into space, Marjorie can track her kids wherever they go. We have those trackers now, right? Google location, you can see where your child's at. We have all this technology. You can see the trampoline at my house from Google Maps, from the air. I'm like, that's my trampoline. There's my cat. Hey, pumpkin. I'm like, how is that possible? We have all this technology, but yet God uses humanity to still pour into other humanity. What can I give? Let's read Acts chapter 3. And this is a story that we're familiar with, but yes, Acts 3. Verse 2. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Here's a guy who was crippled his whole life, who every day someone had to carry him to a place where he could ask for money. Now, I want to talk about that a minute. God calls some of us, I think God calls all of us, at some point of our lives, throughout our seasons, to be a carrier. That we are carrying someone. Do not be frustrated with being a carrier. God equips us with the strength to carry someone. Someone sometimes has to be carried to the point of their need being met. We have to carry them until Peter and John, we'll read in a minute, until their Peter and John passes their way. We carry them with our prayers. We carry them with our heart. We carry them with love. We carry them with forgiveness. We carry them with compassion. Keep carrying those people in your lives until the need is met. Don't get tired of carrying them. All of us have been carried before. As a child, your parents carried you. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Your parents carried you. Your parents carried you to the point you're at today. Then maybe you got married and your spouse then stepped up and began to help carry you. Then as you get older, maybe your children rise up and help carry you. You have pastors in your lives that have helped carry you, teachers that have helped carry you. People in your life of influence, firemen, police officers, whoever, people in your life who's helped you at some point carry you to get you to the point of where your need can be met. If you're a carrier this morning, keep carrying. Let God operate in your life that way. What can I give someone? I can give them emotional support. I can give them compassion and love. I can give them a shoulder to lean on. I can give them hope to know they're not alone. I can give them something. All of us have something to give. Here's the problem with humanity. One of the problems with humanity. There's many. You know, I don't have any of these problems, but most of y'all do. Me and Ray talked before service how that people are caught up so much in their own world and their own agenda that we fail to be used by God to help others. And as we allow God to use us to help someone else, guess what? We then fulfill a purpose and a destiny that helps bring peace and joy to our lives. If you want to get out of your self-misery, begin to help someone else, and your misery will go away. Because all of a sudden now, I'm a giver. We all have those folks in our lives that we know of that, and I know none of y'all are here this morning, but we got givers and we got takers. And there are some of those folks that are like that. I used to have a fish aquarium as a kid. Mom had a really nice fish aquarium in my room. She did a really good job on that. It was decorated, all these beautiful fish in it. You know, the zebra fish, the angel fish, the neon, all the beautiful fish. And I would lay at night, had a little light in my little tank. I'd flip that light on at night, could watch the fish swim while I lay in bed. So cool. Well, Mom had that little thing, I guess called an eel or whatever, a little small one or something. Some kind of little thing that stayed on the bottom of the tank. And it would suck all the gook off. You know, it helped keep the tank clean. Algae eater. Yeah, whatever it's called. It wasn't the prettiest thing to look at, but it sure made the other fish look a lot better. So maybe you're an algae eater. That's okay. Maybe God's using you to get the gunk off someone else's life. We all have something we can give. God equips people with special abilities, patience, forgiveness, compassion, mercy. I know some of us do not have all those qualities. Some of us are not people. People. Yeah. Some of us are not people. I get that. You know, if you're not a people person, don't work in retail. I used to hate working with folks in retail that says, I don't like people. You're in the wrong business. Get out, moron. I mean, okay, you're going to fuss and complain all day long because customers get on your nerves. It's what you do for a living. So do something else if you don't want to be around people. God calls all of us to give something. Here is this person or persons who all of his life carried him to a place where he could get help. Now understand, the ones carrying him received nothing from this. They were helping him out. But his destiny was about to change because someone kept carrying him. I want you to hear that this morning. Maybe you're at a point of, I'm tired of carrying the burden. I'm tired of carrying the load. But if God has called you to do that, you have to do that. There's a reason he's calling you to carry that burden and to carry that load. Because their destiny cannot be fulfilled unless you are helping getting them to the place where the passerby comes by to give them what they need. This man was carried. He was an adult grown man, probably up toward 40 years old. He was grown, crippled his whole life. Verse 3, he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asked of an alms. He asked for money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. I underlined that word in my Bible when I studied this, the word eyes. We need to be very aware and let God show us what he wants us to see. We go by people all the time and have no idea what they're going through or what they're battling and sometimes don't care. And as Christians, that ought not to be. We are caregivers to the body of Christ, and we should be caregivers to humanity. Just like Heather's family being down there doing missionary work. They are giving of themselves to someone else. We become very selfish in our world. It's human nature. We all are. Man, we all are. You know, here comes, you know, Gail pulls up in a brand new pickup truck. And, you know, Carolyn sees the truck, and she's to his face. That's a nice truck. in the back of her mind saying, I wish I could afford a truck like that. It must be nice to have a truck like that. Where'd he get his money from? I don't have a truck like that. That's a nice truck, Gail. I wish I had a truck like that. It's human nature. I'm happy you got that truck. And inside, I'm really not happy you got that truck because I want that truck. It's not fair you got that truck and I can't have that truck. That's how we roll. We say we want people blessed, but like the old song, Misery Loves Company, I think the reason misery loves company so much is because we don't want to feel like we're alone. You know, we don't. If I'm battling a battle, I'll be honest, I want some of y'all in a battle too. Doc knows what I'm talking about. That's just truth. I'm like, you know what? I want to know that I'm not just fighting alone or I'm hurting alone or I don't want to think that God's pouring all his wrath upon me somehow. You know, Paul's miserable too. Hallelujah. We're miserable together. He's going through storms. Yes, I'm not alone. You know how many times I've talked to other adults and they say, man, my kids put me through this and I'll share some of my kids or whatever. And they're like, oh, man. I'm glad I'm not alone. I thought I was a horrible parent. I say, no, I was a great parent. Look what happened. You ain't a horrible parent. I know how it is. And so keep looking of how you can meet someone's need. Be aware. Be sensitive. And look for the need to be met. Keep your eyes open. People are hurting around you all the time. All the time. You know, I went and got gas this morning in the church van, and I'm at Citgo Station hearing a guy working there comes out, and I don't talk any religious, don't talk to him about God, don't any of that. All I do is he was out there, and I said, hey, man, how's it going? Good. You having a good morning so far? Yeah, good morning. Great. Are you new here? Well, I used to work here, and I came back to the store. I said, okay, great. Just having conversation with him, reaching out to him, saying, I got the big church van there, you know, right there in the background. I'm like Vanna White. You know? All I'm doing is talking to him, having a conversation with him. You know, here is this preacher in a suit getting out of a church van, and here's this guy with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and tatted up all over, and I'm reaching out, just talking to him. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm treating him with love and friendliness and hospitality. I don't know what that guy's need is, but you know what? All I was trying to do was sow into his life this morning just to how you doing, have a great day, and sow a seed. He might remember me. He might remember that big old red van. Like, that guy was nice to me. He reached out to me. Because he was over there smoking right in front of the store. I was way over the gas pump. Hey, man, what's up? Having a good morning? Yeah, good. Just talking to him. Keep your eyes open. For some reason, this particular guy asking alms caught Peter and John's attention in a different way. The Holy Spirit, I think, revealed to them, hey, there's a need to be met here. And guess what? I'm using you to meet it. It's kind of the old saying, right? Oh, why don't God bless me? Why don't you be the blessing? You be the blessing. You know, we're always praying for the blessing to come our way. And I want to be blessed. We all do. But you know what is sometimes God wants us to be the blesser and not the blessee. So let's bless someone else. But Pastor, I don't have anything I can give. Oh, yes, you do. We've all got something we can give. He said, look on us. Look what he tells them. Verse 5, the guy's excited. He gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. I mean, wouldn't you think about this? These homeless people around Walmart holding the sign, you pull up. And he says, hey, can you spare me some change? Can you spare me some money? I'm hungry. And you say, look on me. It's like, look on me. I've got something to give you. And they're thinking you're going to pull out some cash or something to give them. But that's not what he did. Look what Peter said. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, in this particular case, this healing, this deliverance was a much greater blessing than a little bit of money. I think anybody would trade money to walk, trade money to see, trade money to hear. Many would give away everything they had financially for their health to be restored. And the older you get, the more you realize that the big house, the fancy car, and all the, you know, the big mortgage and all that just don't matter when you're in pain every day. All you want is healing. All you want is relief. Peter and John gave this man something far greater than money. He helped bring healing to this man. Now, in our lives, maybe we don't go by someone crippled. Maybe none of us are ever used to have a paralyzed person walk. But we can all be used to have someone rise up from where they're at and say, you know what? You don't belong here. Let me help you out of the gutter. Let me help you out of your situation. Let me help you know that you are loved in spite of your current circumstances. Let me help you understand that Christ has forgiven you, despise all of what you've done in the past. None of that matters. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. Do you believe? We all can offer people that. What can I give? Man, we weren't given all of this. We weren't given the Holy Ghost. We wasn't given the grace of Jesus. We wasn't given this word of God just to, as the Bible says, to hide it under a bushel. But we were meant to let our light shine. Man, let your light shine that the world may see that where you are, they can come that way too. What can I give? I'm just shy. Give them a smile. Write someone a letter. You know, there's so much we are able as God's people to give to someone else in their time of need. But we must keep our eyes open to detail and say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be used? God, use this vessel to bring healing to someone's life. You're saying, Pastor, I'm broken myself, but I can't help nobody. I'm going to tell you this. There's somebody more broken than you this morning. I know there are people more broken than me. It's not that your brokenness doesn't matter. But guess what? As you begin to help someone else's brokenness, all of a sudden things in your life begin to come a little bit more together. That's just the way things work. That's why there's a saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And man, it is. Man, I love when I'm able to help someone or bless someone or surprise someone or give someone something. They're not. I'm so thankful. I had a minivan years ago, a Ford Aerostar. It gave us a lot of trouble. Finally got it running good after many, many transmissions and other things. But it was a good van when I got rid of it. And God put on my heart to bless someone I worked with at Walmart with his vehicle. I prayed about it. And I was going to give it away, just give it away to someone that really had a need. They didn't have anything. They had a big family. And God spoke to me to give this vehicle away. So what I did, because I was a manager, I didn't want to get in no trouble. I didn't want Karina saying, oh, you gave us. I didn't want anything happening. So I said, if you come up with $100, you can have this vehicle. Just give me $100. I didn't even keep the $100. I put it in the offering plate. I didn't keep it. I said, but give me $100. That way it's a transaction. If anybody says you gave, no, I didn't. I sold a vehicle. And this guy gave me $100. He drove the hound out thing. He moved back out of state, had it up there for years, and drove that thing. I was so excited to be able to plant this seed in their lives. It was just a beautiful moment as he hugged my neck and like, man, I can't believe it. I said, man, look, you have a need for a vehicle. You got a big family. Here, take it. There's something that all of us can do to bless someone else. But you know what? We got to get out of ourselves a little bit, don't we? We got to get out of the mirror looking at ourselves and say, you know what? It ain't about me. God, it's about what you want me to do. All of us can give something. I wonder if this man walked. Let's see what happened. He'd be pretty embarrassed if he didn't, wouldn't it? That would change the whole message today. Verse 7, he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Did you know that your impact in someone's life can be immediate? He can immediately bring them strength to where they need strength. Immediately. You're saying, I'm not strong myself. It's like I said a while ago, you're stronger than someone else. There's someone else around you weaker than what you are today, I guarantee you. There's someone more distraught than you are today, I guarantee you. There's someone more homeless than you are today, I guarantee you. So you know what? Our impact can have an immediate response if we will act upon it. Say, God, I want to be used to give to someone else. Think about this man. Never walked. All of a sudden, he's on his feet. What a blessing. Look at verse 8. He leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I want you to picture this. I mean, man, some of us can't raise our hands because it's not comfortable. Let God do something like this. I guarantee you have no problem raising your hands. He's leaping into the world. He's leaping. Woo! I can feel it. Look at that. Them old feet's moving. This is what it feels like to walk and jump and jog and run. Oh my, I've never experienced this before. Do you realize that you can give someone something they have never, ever experienced before? You can do that. There's power in you to deliver something to someone else that they've never experienced before, ever. You have that. Nobody's ever loved me like that until you came along. Nobody ever listened to me like that until you came along. I talked to a young girl years ago that came to visit. She was about 15 years old. She said, can I talk to you in the back, Pastor, after church? I said, yeah. Didn't know who she was. She sat back and she looked at me and she says, I want you to know that I am gay. And I can't talk to anybody about it because everybody puts me down, tells me I'm wrong, blah, 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 blah. And I said, tell me your story. Spent 30 minutes after service one day back there about where Kevin's sitting with this young lady hearing her story. And my response was kind of what that song says, that your identity is in Christ. And I'm praying that he shows you who you really are. I am not judging you. And I think no less of you because of what you've told me. But I am praying, and I took her hand, and we prayed together that God would show her who she was created to be. That she would know that she is loved by God. Because church, she is. Whether you want to agree with that or not. And believe me, I'm a person that's, you know, I believe in the Word of God, and I know sin is sin. I get that. But I also know God is love. And if God can forgive some of us for what we've been and done. Because some of y'all, yeah, some of y'all's out there. Some of y'all, when here and I start naming numbers, y'all start thinking, oh, my Lord. Oh, no, that's not my inmate number. Never mind. I know. You've been in some trouble. You've been out there. And God stepped in and showed that he loved you. And he kept you through your foolishness, through your wildness, through your rebellion, he kept you. People want to be loved without conditions. Do you love me because of the way I dress? Do you love me because of the color of my skin? Do you love me because of the job that I do? I mean, you know, this is a proven fact, and it is part of our society, and it just is what it is. I did a study one time where a guy walked through a mall in a suit like this, and the same guy walked through just dressed very, very just common. Who do you think got more response? The guy in the suit. It's the same guy. If y'all see me in my yard working, believe me, I'm a hot mess. Man, I got shorts that's got five different colors of paint on them that I use. I've got boots that look like they come out of the dumpster. That's my yard shoes. A straw hat and shirts that got tears and holes and rips. You wouldn't even recognize me walking into my house. I'm out there doing my yard. But you know what? I'm that same lovable pastor in my yard that I'm here on Sunday mornings. And if someone went by, if I went to Walmart in my yard clothes, they would think, I bless their heart, here's a quarter. Get you a hamburger. I'm okay. I got money. Oh, do you? Okay. Our clothes don't change who we are. Our skin color doesn't change who we are. The language we speak doesn't change who we are. We are people, and God created all of us. I mean, think about that. God created a dock. Isn't that great? God created a mat. Whew. Man, sense of humor. I mean, God created all of us. And all of us have something to give. All that young woman that morning wanted, and she wasn't asking for validation. She was just wanting someone to hear her. She said, thanks for hearing me and not shooting me down. Said, every preacher I talk to, I can't even get in the conversation. I can't even tell my story because they shoot me down. I said, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Of course, it goes back to a bad background, bad parents, bad childhood, abuse. I mean, all this stuff began to come out. And all this young woman is looking for is to be accepted and to be loved. And I'm going to tell you something. Society's rude and mean. Middle school, high school, and even the workforce. Do y'all have cliques at your work? Yeah. And you're not part of the clique. You're not part of that main clique. And when you come around, the conversation changes, or you don't ever get invited to lunch at Groucho's. You're not the Groucho crowd. We have those cliques. We had them in school. We have them at work. We have them at church. It shouldn't be that way ever in church. And I think this church is pretty good. I know that everybody don't like everybody. But I do think everybody loves everybody. And I think that makes a big difference. This guy's leaping and praising God. He had been healed. Peter and John gave him something that silver and gold couldn't buy. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he, the same man, which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement that it happened to him. Of course they were. We all would be that way. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. In verse 16, we'll close without this verse. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. They had no magical power. They allowed God to use them. Man, they allowed God to use them to bring a miracle in this man's life. There are people that are waiting for a Peter and John moment, and you may be that Peter and John. Keep your eyes open. Be aware and be sensitive to the needs of others and allow God to use you and say, Lord, I want to give what you've given me. God, I want people to have the peace that I have, the strength that I have, the joy that I have. I want them to understand your forgiveness, God, because they don't see it for themselves. They're so overwhelmed with what they've been, what they've done, they can never be free from that. They're always bound through judgment, through condensation, condescending eyes. That's all they see, and they don't see who you are. Let them see who you are. Use me, God, to point them to you. What can I give? We can all give something. It's a matter of, will I give, or will I hold on to what I got and keep it for myself? Will I let the world pass on by with no compassion to try to help someone else around me? It's not just up to the pastor, Sunday school teacher, deacons, or whoever to be the spiritual influence of the world. It's up to every believer. The Bible actually calls us priests, right? Believers are priests. We're all priests unto God, the Revelation tells us. We're priests unto God. And he's given all of us the ability to be an influence. We know what influence can do to a middle school child or a high school child. We know what peer pressure is. And even with adults, peer pressure is real. Peer pressure is real. We want to be liked. When Carrie walks in that courtroom, she wants to be liked. I mean, maybe not by the people she's prosecuting, but she wants to be liked by her coworkers. She wants the people she's prosecuting to like her too. Now I'm trying to get you 10 years, but just know Jesus loves you. She can witness. You know, this is out of my control, but God can help you. All of us have something to give. I know David's told me before, David Lee, you know, he's a police officer, that when he talks to people many times, not every time, but he says when the situation arises, there's times he can open up and able to talk to someone and try to help them and share with them about making better decisions, about doing things differently. We all can give something, and we don't have to be in a big position to do that. We can be anywhere and do that. What can I give? Man, when we start giving out, something begins to happen. We begin to see God move, not only in their lives, but in our lives. It's hard to stay depressed when you're helping someone else. It really is. The best remedy for depression is not medication. It's not exercise, which is good. It releases the endorphins, we all know. That's good. But the best solution for depression is to begin to help others. Reach out and help someone else. They're waiting on you, and they need you. Man, they need you. You never know when their moment of deliverance is going to come, and you could be the very one God uses to bring that moment. I've seen it happen. Y'all have seen it happen. You know, that's one of Charles's goals now that he is out, and God has changed his life around. He wants, one thing he's been talking about for a long time, he wants to be used to help others avoid the path that he took. That's what it's about. That's what we do as parents, right? We try to help our kids avoid mistakes. We know are mistakes. They don't see it yet. They don't know because they think they know it all. We try to help them. Don't, you know, we're investing in them. We're giving of ourselves to them. You know, we fight with them. We holler at them. We ground them. You know, they get mad at us. It's a constant battle, but it's a battle worth having. Because love never gives up. Keep carrying people. Some of you are in here will have a moment of being a carrier. Some of you will have a Peter and John, but we're the one bringing deliverance. And some of you will be both. Some of you will be swapped around, but all of us will be one of these two roles. We are these two roles. You know what a mama's doing when she's praying for her wayward child or her unhappy child or her whatever child? She's carrying them. She's carrying them to the point where God steps in and says it is time, because they are in this position, in this place. If he had not been at the beautiful gate, he would have missed the miracle. And he couldn't be at the beautiful gate if someone hadn't have carried him. So the carrier also was part of the blessing. The one that got him sat down and positioned in the right place was a benefactor of that blessing. I helped get him here, and then God did the rest. We are supposed to carry each other. We're supposed to lift up each other. We're supposed to help each other. What can I give? This man's life changed forever. He was a cripple, now he can walk, because someone was there for him and they didn't give up. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years fought that disease. 12 years she couldn't get healed. Doctors couldn't heal her. Money couldn't buy her healing. Nothing could fix her. Nothing could work. But she did not give up. She pressed her way through the crowd. And her position produced her healing. We sometimes, church, our role is to position people in the place to where God wants them to be. We are to be used by God. Let him use you. Pray, God, use me whatever way you desire. Let my eyes see, let my ears hear the needs of those around me, and give me the wisdom and discernment to know what to do with that. People are so hurting. They are so hurting. The biggest thing that stands in our way of being used by God is our own walls that we put up. Because here's the deal. We're, you know, don't know. Sarah's comfortable helping someone that looks like her, that acts like her. I'm using an example. That acts like her, looks like her. That's comfortable. But what if she comes across someone that's nothing like her, that's totally opposite than her, that looks way different than her, that has a background way different than hers? That's a little harder. Because we form walls that say, you know what, God, use me, except I don't want to be used to try to help a gay person. Or I don't want to be used to help a black person. Or I don't want to be used to help a gang member. Or I don't want to be used to help a drug addict. Or I don't want to be used to help a wife beater. Or I don't want to be used to help, you know, a convict. I don't want to be used. We can't put those limits on God. Humanity is crying out for hope and for help and for healing. And we are the vessels and the gloves that God uses. Let me be the glove. That old song, Bill, about that Jeff somebody. Remember that? Had that Yalikas, huh? Steinberg. The glove. I thought about that song yesterday. I can't remember his name. I'm going to try to pull it back up. I want to hear that song again. The glove. What a beautiful song. God, let me, you know, you're the hand. I'm just the glove, or vice versa, whatever. Say, I can't remember how it heard, but it's a beautiful song about, you know, use me, God. Use me. If we are the body, right? That song, if we are the body, why aren't our hands healing? Why are our feet going? Why aren't we reaching? Why aren't we doing that? Pull that song up, Brandon. I think you can YouTube it. It's called We Are the Body, Casting Crowns. We'll play that. This song sums it up, what we should be doing as Christians. It's not about our little world all the time. It's about being aware of what's around us and who's around us and what we can do to impact their lives. So great to be a blessing to others. Taking's good too. I know that. We like to take. Getting something's good too, but man, giving something away. Make sure there's no commercials. So turn it down. Sometimes the commercials can be awkward. Yes, Casting Crowns. Do it on the lyrics. They can see it on the screen. I don't know if you can't slide it over, can you? Let's pray while he's finding that. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this message this morning, put in our hearts, God, a desire to be used. We all have something we can give to someone else. Lord, let us give it with freedom. Let us give it with love. Let us give it without restraint. God, you gave us something beautiful 2,000 years ago. You gave us grace. You gave us mercy. You gave us forgiveness. You gave us redemption. You gave us eternal life, God. You gave us complete healing. You tore the veil in two, God, and gave us access to your very throne. You gave it all for us. Let us give away to others what you have given to us. That same mercy and love and compassion. Let us be the body that steps out and says, I, God, will do what you've called me to do. People are hurting and they're dying and they're in such dire need of help. Let us give away, God, what you've given us. Give us boldness and courage and wisdom to know how to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You got it ready yet? I don't know if you can get it slid over or not, though. Had an issue with that sliding over lately. I don't know what's happened with that. If you can get your cursor over there. That's a tricky thing to do, what he's doing right there. I promise you, it's tricky. Listen to this song, church.